from the studios of the M Network. This is Antisocial, the podcast and radio program where we look at the dark recesses of social media and then turn the light on. I'm Tony Winton.
I'm Tom Mosloom. Tony, you are the light. You are the light in a dark, dark recess of Twitterverse.
I thought you were going to hit me with the train joke.
No, I'm not going to do that.
All right.
Because I'm running the board today, so all of the mistakes you guys are going to hear, yeah, that's on me. Will is out today. I'm a little bummed about
that. We miss Will.
We do miss Will.
And his keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I need Will to come back pretty soon because this is a job I kind of stink at. So, well, that's where we are. There is one story, Tony, that is dominating all South Florida media wall-to-wall coverage.
Especially the sports pages.
Oh, my gosh. It's almost like they forgot basketball season is still going on.
Right. And this is...
And that there's an MLB lockout. I think that actually is probably contributing to the fact that this story is going on, because there is an MLB lockout and there's nothing there to talk about.
Right.
Hockey's going. Both people who watch hockey are...
And we do have this minor sporting event taking place on Sunday.
What's that? I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Is it what?
It's a tiny little contest.
Okay.
All right. A tiny little contest. Of course, we're talking about the Super Bowl, and the topic today is football and the National Football League, but also, the explosive allegations Tom was referring to in terms of the Miami Dolphins, a lawsuit involving racism, hiring practices, head coaching practices, all of these things roiling social media everywhere you go.
Yes, and it's the Brian Flores lawsuit and subsequent tsunami of never-ending scandal that's dropped out of that lawsuit. Has incited strong emotions across everybody who is a football fan or casual viewer. Calls of racism obviously have deep emotional impact and raise a lot of questions. There have been debates and arguments and accusations. And it raises some questions. Like, even you and I got into it before the show about football and racism and head coaching and meritocracies and all of that other stuff. So I think you were wise, Tony, to call in an expert.
Well, he is an expert, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing him before when I was working at Associated Press. He was one of the go-to experts. His name is Richard Lapchick. He is the eminent scholar at the College of Business at the University of Central Florida. And he's also the director of the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport. He's known for producing voluminous and copious data on diversity and race in sport, and people turn to him because he's made this a field of study. And so, Professor, thank you for joining us today on Antisocial as we try to plow in. Just let's start off, if we could, with your assessment of the baseline. Where is professional football in the movement to have better diversity? How would you assess it right now?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I think the Brian Flores lawsuit was a smoking gun that we've never had before in terms of the issue of race with the NFL. I went to the NFL in 2001 with Johnny Cochran and Cyrus Murray, two civil rights attorneys, to threaten legal action if they didn't change their hiring practices, and the Rooney Rule was the result a year later. The Rooney Rule was very effective, as you know, for about 5 or 6 years, but it's lost its teeth. For the last 4 years, the NFL has been stuck at 4 head coaches of color, including 3 black head coaches, a dismal record for a sport that has 32 different franchises around the country. I believe that they've tried their best to get things to change at the league office, and Commissioner Goodell, I think, has become much more concerned about this in the last 3 or 4 years than he had been in the past. But the reality is there are 32 owners who are overwhelmingly white men. There are 2 owners of color, Kim Pegula in Buffalo, and the owner of the Jacksonville Jags. None of them are black. And the reality is 21 of the 32 were supporters of Donald Trump in the last election, which tells you something about how much they might or might not want to have a black head coach heading up their public face with their team. And that's kind of the state of where we are. If those owners who are making those decisions, from my point of view, I think that this is obviously not going to change by itself. I think public pressure has to be called for here, and there's been a fair amount of it. What hasn't happened is that the activism of athletes in the NFL and other leagues has not turned to hiring practices. I believe when it does, when players who literally run the team on the field and determine where the team is at this time of the year, if they focus on a fair set of hiring practices for head coaches and general managers, we'll get a change.
So the suggestion is that all Trump supporters are racist and that the Rooney Rule... Okay, the Rooney Rule never worked. The people on the outside think that the Rooney Rule was a farce from the beginning. It's just a make-believe, like, hey, I hope you interview somebody, but there's no incentive to hire a black person or any person of color.
What about that, Professor? What is the data on the Rooney Rule? And it's okay to add in other sports, right? Because there are other leagues.
No,
and other,
by the way, yeah. Feel free to tell me I'm wrong. Everybody else does, so it's fine.
Yeah. I'll join the chorus. I think you're wrong. The Rooney Rule initially was effective. They went from 2 black head coaches to 6 black head coaches in the first 4 years of the Rooney Rule. We had 2 coaches in the coaching in the Super Bowl who were black in a single year. The first time that's ever happened. Lovie Smith,
Dungy and Smith, right?
But it was after that that it became ineffective. Are there bogus interviews? The smoking gun here is that Brian Flores literally documented that there are going to be bogus interviews, but.
Don't you think that's going to be tough to discern from that? I mean, Belichick, the Giants are in full-blown crisis management mode. They came out with a really strong statement that said, Belichick doesn't know us, he doesn't work for us, and he doesn't speak for us. So anything he might have told Brian Flores didn't come from us.
Well, you know, it's probably the most prominent coach in the NFL saying that. He's got a voice out there. You know, they can deny that that was the case, but the timing was obvious that the guy was hired before his scheduled interview. So to me, it's pretty clear that that's the case. I, by the way, don't agree that we can say that every Trump supporter is a racist, but, you know, there's a lot of white supremacists who are backers of Donald Trump. And when Jemele Hill called him a white supremacist early in his tenure, it was the first time a media person had said that. And I think it stuck with him because of his actions while he was president.
Right. If I could though, and the problem is we have a limited show, right? I'm trying to focus on the stats of what's happened. Compare the NFL to say Major League Baseball in terms of the diversity in that sport, or even at the college level, which is really your specialty, what's different? What are they doing right to the extent that they are, and maybe they aren't, versus the NFL? I'm trying to get like a picture of how off it is.
Major League Baseball has a very similar record to the NFL in terms of their managers are basically the same percentages as the NFL's head coaches, same with general managers. They have not had a good record. They did at some point. So this 2 years before the Rooney Rule was put into place, Bud Selig mandated such a policy in Major League Baseball, and the numbers went up temporarily. They're back down now at another low point in Major League Baseball, college sport. We have fewer head black basketball coaches in college sport today than we had in 2006. So to say that they're doing a lot better, they're doing better than the NFL, but that's not saying a lot.
Gotcha.
The only sports that are doing well with head coaches are Major League Soccer and the NBA.
So in terms of a fix, what is necessary? I mean, the head of the players union, the NFL, asked, you know, what kind of accountability is necessary? Does it have to go to litigation like the Flores case? As Tom pointed out, you know, Title VII is a tool. It's an imperfect tool, and I can tell you, as someone who follows organized labor and labor issues, it's slow going.
Yeah, I mean the value of the lawsuit is it got the discussion going. The discussion got going last January and February also, and the same results were there. But that's why I said that, why I called the text a smoking gun, because it's in print and writing that it actually did happen that way with Brian Flores. It's ironic that the two clubs that fired black head coaches hired black head coaches this year. But I think that once Brian Flores did put the lawsuit out there, he essentially ended his career as a football coach. When Kaepernick took a knee in 2016, I said to my wife, he'll never play another game after this season. And of course, that was the case. You know, we have a different climate right now. When the Milwaukee Bucks did not come out for the playoff in the bubble two years ago, the NBA didn't condemn them. They, in fact, supported them. They shut the entire league down and all sports followed. Active players have the power that they've never had before because they're acting more in unison with a voice that can be heard and can be felt. And I think that in the case of the Washington football team, you know, what changed everything was that their corporate sponsors said that they were pulling out. And after decades of arguing about the name of the football team, they decided, they announced that they would change the name within 3 months. So I think that corporate pressure on the NFL and other sports would be an effective tool in addition to athlete action.
But I understand the pressure point, and that's kind of, that seems clearly where it's headed. But what is the actual solution? Is it a quota? Is it what is the actual, what would it take, and how would that be designed to say, okay, you apply the pressure, the other side comes to the table and says, we want to fix it. What does the solution look like in your view?
Well, the solution looks like getting the best people in the room for the interview process. You know, the Steelers, who had the only and longest standing black head coach in the NFL, I understand it was, he felt it was a bogus interview when he went for the Steelers interview, but they were so impressed by him that they changed the direction in the interview process. I think that's a possibility, but it's also possible that somebody in the room who is in where decisions can be made not to hire the person is going to be in a situation where he's in the room making the decision on another team later, and that bogus interview can turn into an opportunity for the person who was unfairly treated the first time might get that real opportunity. You're not going to get a quota with 32 NFL teams saying we need 16 coaches. Who's going to enforce where those 16 are going to be? But you know, they talked about having rewards last year for hiring black head coaches, bringing them from a different team. The coaches themselves, interestingly, rejected it. But they have to work out something that's not known at this point what it'll take. But public, if the public stops pressing, the issue will be over. We'll have 29 white head coaches next year also.
So let's go back to Major League Baseball for a second and follow my logic here. Major League Baseball, of the players in Major League Baseball, 8% of them are black. It's a minority of the players in Major League Baseball are black, and there are two black head coaches in Major League Baseball, which is also the minority. NFL football is 70% black. Now, I'm not drawing the conclusion that if you're a good football player, you could be a good coach. But it does seem like it would be advantageous to have coaches on the sideline who can relate with that, have a common background. I would suggest that part of your expertise is where the answer lies, and that's in the college ranks. That's the pipeline for NFL coaches most of the time. You serve in the college ranks. So how are colleges doing in developing minority coaches?
They're terrible. They have a worse record than the NFL. We're literally editing the final version of the college racial and gender report card this weekend. And as I said earlier, we have fewer black basketball coaches in Division I than we had in 2006. We have about the same number of black football coaches as we had in the year 2000. It's just not, the colleges are not an example of how to do it right.
So if that's the funnel,
it's not the funnel.
Why would we expect
it's really not
the major leagues to have more, to have a better track record than where they're actually recruiting from?
They're not actually recruiting from the colleges. Most NFL coaches have had player experience and then went into the coaching ranks in the NFL. Very few of them had any college experience. That is not a recruiting. In fact, the hiring of college head coaches in the NFL has, generally speaking, been a failure. They haven't succeeded.
No, but they rise up through the ranks from college into a coordinator position, and then from a coordinator position, they go over to another team. That's how it's a funnel. It's not a direct line to head coaches, but the vast majority of head coaches have had college experience, and then they go on to a coordinator experience, and that's where they get hired from.
Yeah, you're asking me to use the statistical knowledge that I know, and I know what you just said is not true. The majority of NFL coaches do not have college coaching experience. It's just not accurate.
And so I guess the question is I'm looking for solutions, right? That's it. You have a system. These numbers look terrible. I don't think there's any argument that the numbers look terrible. The first question, does anyone care? Will anything do anything about it? And you're suggesting on that, does anyone care? That's really going to have to come from the players acting in some kind of work stoppage, even though that may be unlawful. I don't know. Or some kind of pressure, public pressure. And then the question is, what do you do about it? If you can't use a quota, you're suggesting kind of like a Rooney Rule on steroids, right? Some enhanced kind of thing with incentives. That's what I think I heard you say.
Well, that's what the NFL itself proposed last year, that the coaches actually rejected that premise. I think it's worth trying out. But, you know, we have a history in America of hiring an affirmative action where pressure was the point that made the changes take place where they did take place. It's still not a great record in America, but affirmative action did lead to results at a certain point in the NFL. Obviously, the search process and the selection process has not been effective in terms of getting what people would argue are the best potential candidates on those teams as head coaches. You know, when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl last year, they had three black coordinators and quarterback coach. Everybody said that they would be great head coaches. The Jaguars talked about hiring Leftwich, Byron. This year, interviewed him, went on for 60 days without hiring somebody, ended up hiring a white guy. Pressure, you know, we are a society that if you don't have pressure in terms of racial hiring, changes about race and also gender, by the way, we're not, you know, people who look like you and me are not going to yield power without being pushed to do so.
In terms of incentives on the income side, is there anything that suggests that this is more profitable, the current inequitable, I'll use that term, distribution, employment of coaches is somehow profitable for the NFL? And that is the underlying driver, that they're making more money this the way they like it now because it's making the most money for them? Or no? Well, is there a correlation?
Winning is the correlation. So if you have the best coach, chances are they're going to win more. Do you have the best coach if you haven't explored everybody who's out there and eligible to be a best coach, has the background and the experience? If you're not bringing a diverse pool of candidates into it, and by the way, the all the studies now show that bringing a single diverse candidate into a hiring process is not effective. It's got to be multiple candidates. That's where the decisions are more frequently made of hiring a coach of color.
So how do we develop these coaches? Where are they right now, if not in the college ranks? And where do we get them from? They're not in the coordinator ranks because while there's been more improvement in the NFL among coordinators who are minorities, it's still not where it should be. So how do we develop these coaches? Where do they come from?
Again, the people who are coaching as assistant coaches in the NFL are by and large former NFL players who go from their playing days into a kind of lower level coaching position in the NFL and get their experience there.
Richard Lapchick, I want to thank you for joining us. It really sounds like a pretty bleak picture, I have to tell you. You know, football has been taking a lot of things on the chin. The scandals involving head injuries and this now coming up. And someone who loved to watch it, I don't watch it as much as I used to anymore. And the Super Bowl coming up, I'm hoping that, you know, a game that is really kind of quintessentially American. I know how much you care about sport, that things, you know, can improve.
I do the things I do for the last 50 years, hoping that just that things will improve.
All right. Professor Richard Lapchick joining us. He is from the Institute of Diversity and Ethics in Sport and a national expert in this field. And we appreciate your time today on Antisocial. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, listeners, we'd like to play the rest of the broadcast, but we can't. And that's because we had a technical glitch right at this point as we were recording our show. Those of you who heard it live on WSQF LP 94.5 in Key Biscayne know that we were talking about a very important village council meeting involving a vote on sea level rise. But we'll have to get to that in more detail on our next broadcast. We apologize for the technical glitch, but we again want to thank Professor Lapchick for his views about diversity in sports on this Super Bowl weekend. Enjoy, and on behalf of Tom Mosloom, my co-host, be safe, everybody. And then the next day.